Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Don't worry, this is not another chat about Oasis. We are talking rock and roll stars today. Looking back at the history of music, it would appear that nothing is more rock and roll than getting into public spats with other musicians. And joining me now to take a look at some of the most spectacular clashes, we've Simon Marr, founder of Rate8Radio.com. Hello, Simon.
Hello, Claire.
So the reunion, the Oasis reunion, it has really sparked the conversation around music rivalries, hasn't it? Like, it livens up the cliche of what's expected.
Oh, it does. Yeah, you are expected to fall out with people, you know, and there are some bands who you expect, because they're so much based around the personality of the bands, is that you expect there to be fallouts. So that goes way back to the Kinks, when it was Ray and Dave Davies knocking lumps out of one another in the 60s, all the way up through Oasis and all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah, now, we love it, don't we?
Oh, we do love it, but there's a lifespan that all of these feuds have, and some of them drag on for ages. And the big one, the Battle of Britpop, you know, there's somebody I saw over the weekend with a great t-shirt on, and it was all about Battle of Britpop, and there's just a smiley happy face of Jarvis Cocker from Pulp, because everybody said, well, who won, Oasis or Blur? Yep, Pulp. Yeah. You know, so there's a lifespan, but they're great fun while they happen.
And we love them, you know. It just provides this, you know, magnet for us, and we're very interested in it, but not when the rivalry is forced or seems in any way fake. We're gone.
Oh no, it can't. That's the thing. You have to believe that there's something. You've got to believe that this is coming from genuine animosity, however misplaced that animosity might be. But if it's coming from a PR guy, you'll generally see through it straight away. And it's one of the things, in fairness, about rock and roll, is that normally they've been good at this, because you have that whole tradition of throwing pianos out windows and, you know, huge rows anyway. So normally it's okay. But if there is any sort of contrivance about it, it's gone.
Yeah, it's a great time. It's a great era to have a row, because everybody on social media can weigh in.
Yeah, and you know what about social media now is that it can be immediate. So if I become offended by something now, there used to be a time when it would be, I'd have to wait till I was releasing my next single or I did my next interview for Rolling Stone. Whereas now, if I fall out with somebody, you know,
get your phone out.
Oh, I could tweet, and long before this interview is over, we can be at war.
All right, listen, let's get to it. We're going to talk about two legendary bands first. Let's have a quick listen. So that's the Rolling Stones, who ultimately fell out with...
Help, I need somebody. Help, not just anybody.
So that's the Beatles, of course, and this is one of the first big rivalries in rock and roll.
Oh, absolutely. When the Beatles and the Stones came together, you're talking about the US invasion at the time, and suddenly there was a whole load of bands went over to the States, and they were going to be huge. And the Beatles probably overtook everybody very, very quickly. And there was a lot of grudging admiration, but there was a lot of just general grudging. That kind of went on round about the time. And the Beatles weren't known for... They were a bit sensitive themselves, you know. So when Lennon or McCartney would be asked about another band, they often weren't necessarily incredibly humble at the time. Mm-hmm. And they described the Rolling Stones as a blues cover band, which didn't go down very well, and kicked off, I suppose, a rivalry that went on for years. But what happened with the Stones was, I suppose, at least the Stones kept up. They sort of kept on releasing, and they were still a huge band. An awful lot of the other bands fell away, but the Stones so the Beatles kept at it. And I think that's where they eventually came back around. But it took a good number of years.
And they healed the rift eventually?
They did. They eventually healed it. The Rolling Stones brought Paul McCartney out on stage to do a blues cover song at one stage quite recently. And it was Jagger who inducted them into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So they got over it. But there was, at least you can definitely say, for that period of time, there was animosity. And some of it based on jealousy, some of it based on ego, and some of it based on just sort of musicians' temperament.
All right, well, that all worked out.
Yeah.
But as you say, the Beatles kind of liked a good feud. They also
did.
Fell out with our next band.
Yeah, you really got me now. You got me so I can't sleep at night.
What happened between the Kinks and the Beatles?
Well, see, the Kinks, when they weren't knocking lumps out of one another, generally were knocking lumps out of other bands that were around them, you know. But what they had going for them was the Kinks at the time, and particularly around about tracks like You Really Got Me, they were huge. And they went and they played a gig in Bournemouth, I think it was sort of around about 1964, and they were the last act on before the Beatles. So the main support act. And they absolutely blew the crowd away to the point that when the Beatles came on stage, some of the crowd were still chanting for the Kinks, right?
Oh.
And this did not go down well at all. And then the following year, they were playing at an NME Awards winners gig, and the Beatles had one of their best ever moments. The Kinks had a terrible moment. They were late off a plane. All of that stuff happened. And John Lennon came out and said, yeah, well, look, you know, that's for Bournemouth last year, you know. And this went on for quite some time. And I think a lot of bands, and the Kinks in particular, were very upset that the Beatles had become such a cultural phenomenon. It wasn't just about, you sold more records than you. Is that they were taken as being, well, the Beatles are the voice of a generation. And bands like the Kinks, and particularly Ray Davies and Dave Davies, were going, oh, no, hang on.
We're the voice of the generation.
Yeah,
a little bit of envy maybe there. But then you have, on top of the external rifts, the internal rift, Simon Paul McCartney falling out with one of his own band members,
yeah,
who of course went on to forge his own successful career. You can probably guess who our next musician is. So what happened between the two, between Lennon and McCartney?
There was a lot of, at the end of the Beatles, there was obviously a huge amount of friction. And by that stage, they were a studio band because they'd stopped, obviously, enough touring and doing live gigs. So they were working in studio and there was a lot of disagreement, as there so often is, creative differences about where do you go with the band next? Where do you go with the Beatles next? And what a question that was. So it was all a little bit fractious at the end. The whole thing was all about who's to blame for the breakup of the Beatles. And one of the people who was blamed was Yoko Ono,
yeah,
who, of course, John Lennon was with at the time and up to his death. And so that caused a bit of a feud, you know, and there's a whole can of worms that we won't open about whose fault the end of the Beatles was.
They did make up before.
But eventually, but it took like a good couple of years. They both said quite snippy things about one another. John Lennon wrote a song called How Do You Sleep, which was all about Paul McCartney. But by the time they got to the mid-70s, and it's brilliant because they were back and they were friends again, because that was such an important relationship. And if you think about important cultural things, McCartney and Lennon needed to be friends, and they became friends again. So that was a good one. That was one that I don't think people took pleasure in. People take pleasure in some of the other rivalries. Lennon and McCartney falling
out. Didn't want to see that happen.
No, we don't want to see that happen.
Britney Spears and Christina Aguilera. Now, that was a famous one from the 90s. Was that real?
This is the question. You have to cast your mind back to the Mickey Mouse Club in 1993 when they would have met and worked together on the TV. And then there was rivalry, but it was more like a chart based rivalry at that stage. Who's going to get the single out first? Whose single is going to sell more? What sort of an image they have? They eventually went on TV and they did a tribute to Madonna. They did Like a Virgin, and there's a famous day when Madonna came on and kissed both of them and all of that stuff. So it was a huge, huge deal. But they've sort of made up since, and I'm not sure that that one was quite as, and there was as much animosity as maybe there's made.
All right, Simon, we're out of time.